Welcome to the Son of a Pixel podcast. I'm Average Joe, here with my co-host,
Dylan Adams.
And today, we're going to be talking about Elden Ring.
Yeah, Elden Ring's interesting. It somehow sold 13 million units, and it still managed to divide the gaming community and the Soulsborne community.
Yeah, there's Spirit Ashes, overpowered magic, and it being too easy are just some of the Soulsborne complaints.
And at the side of the casual gamers, they're complaining about the lack of linearity in quests, there's no tracking, there's a steep learning curve.
So it originally started as the brainchild of our good friend here, Hidetaka Miyazaki. Now, Miyazaki wanted to do something different with the current Souls games. They were good, because we had games like Sekiro and Bloodborne and Dark Souls, obviously. But I think he wanted to make something a little more.
Yeah, I think it came down to a point where they had pretty much perfected the Souls game. They're very linear games. You're going from one location to the next. A boss fight is when you know you've reached the end of your area. And so in a sense, it was very familiar for a lot of people going from 1, 2, 3, going into Bloodborne, expecting the same exact thing, getting the same exact thing, and then going into Sekiro, where things got a little different. And that's when I think a lot of the try-hard, very, you know, neckbeardy Soulsborne community people started thinking about it and going, hold on, they're changing something here.
Yeah. Now, the Souls games in particular, such as Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, have been very much rooted in very dark fantasy. Bloodborne is a little different. That's more of a steampunk vibe, and Sekiro is more a samurai vibe. I think what Miyazaki wanted to do here was build a world with more of a story. The stories in the Souls games are more interpretive. You have to look through the items and find background lore through that. So he reached out to one of the greatest, debatably, fantasy writers of all time, George R.R. Martin. His involvement with the game is very interesting, as he didn't actually write the full game, but he helped create the world that Miyazaki wanted to have. But it's a lived-in world. You actually feel like things are going on there. You know, you're a tarnished, and you're just trying to explore and gain new things and become the Elden Lord at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think exploration's a big part of what makes Elden Ring very successful, because you can really do anything, go anywhere at any point in time. For instance, I mean, minor spoilers if you've never started the game, but upon playing it, my first chest was literally like a teleport chest that teleports you halfway across the map into an unknown area that will not allow you to go back until you've found a place to rest.
Fighting through those areas very much gives me some horror game vibes, as you're just by yourself. You have these very scary and daunting enemies, and I think that's what Elden Ring perfectly does. It gives you that dread of, holy shit, this guy is a lot bigger than me. How am I supposed to beat that guy? Like, how am I supposed to stop this boss?
For sure, and I think that's something that has been mastered throughout the Soulsborne era, where bosses kept getting bigger and bigger, and you kept getting stronger.
I think they really took a lot of liberties by making this the very first open-world Souls game. You see things like, they took the Breath of the Wild aspect with this, where you can go anywhere, you're just going to get fucked up if you go to the wrong area.
Yeah, for sure, and it takes the Breath of the Wild aspect, and then does something that the other games, like the new Assassin's Creeds, the Genshin Impacts, the newer quote-unquote open world ones, where it's not, you know, it's not a closed off map where you go find a really tall structure and then go stand on it, and then you go do 40 different side things. Never a point in Elden Ring where I felt it was too repetitive. It got to a point where I was definitely seeing bosses again. But that's kind of a Soulsborne thing, because a lot of the Soulsborne community, they're playing the game again and again and again.
Well, I think that is beautifully offered up, especially with the new game plus options. Lets you go in with your stronger gear, all your weapons that you got from your end gameplay, and see how you're going to fare and find things maybe you missed on your first playthrough, which is what I think that the open world does a really good job of, is having these little nooks and crannies. Like, a bunch of people are having different conversations, even you and myself, where I'm like, oh, I found a talking tree monkey in the beginning, and you're like, whoa, where do I find that? Like, It's giving that Elder Scrolls V Skyrim type feel of when that game released, people are like, oh, you're finding this stuff? Like, where do I get this? Like, it's letting people talk about games in a fun way again, and giving your mind more of an explorative factor while you're taking in this new world.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of it has to do with the minimal UI. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's very divisive for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, we had game devs from Guerrilla Games, from Ubisoft, speaking out against the game, saying, like, you know, I put hundreds of hours into the UX of the game, mm-hmm. and this is what Elden Ring is coming out with, and everyone's praising it, but you have a full map. Mm-hmm. You have a glowing light that tells you where to go. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no top left mini map or compass or quest trackers or everything. You just have a single yellow line of light that says, hey, you should probably go this way. But at the end of the day, you don't need to. But in Elden Ring, there's no 500,000 collectibles.
No.
You know, there's a little cracked pot. There's a perfumer's bottle that lets you throw more pots and perfume more perfumes. The quests aren't like fetch quests. They're, hey, I've done a thing, and maybe I'll see you later. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only fetch quest I can think of is the one with Bog, I think his name is, where he's like, hey, I'm going to go back to... And he never tells you, to be fair. He just, hey, I'm going back home to go get my needle.
That's the thing, too, with Elden Ring. And we were talking about being guided. When you do a mission or a quest for somebody, they just tell you the directions of where to go. Go north, past this post sign or whatever. They don't actually give you... They don't show you the proper directions in the map. You have to go find that yourself. And it really gives you that sense of adventure, as we were talking about earlier. And it... The Soulsborne games do a great job of, well, one, pissing you off as they throw you the hardest fucking boss you've ever fought in your life, but they also give you that sense of accomplishment, like we were saying. Mm-hmm. They really make you feel like, I'm my own guy, this is my own adventure. I do recommend looking up a guide for some things in Elden Ring, especially if you're just a beginner and this is your first Soulsborne game, but I think after that it's better just to veer off and do your own thing. I think you get a lot more fun doing that.
Yeah, like for personally, like what I did is I would play through the whole game and I looked up a few quests because I wanted to get a general idea of the structure of quests because, like, you know, people are complaining about it. To get a good idea of, like, what it is, and it's ridiculous. It is. The quest system on launch in Elden Ring was ridiculous. Yeah. They've helped it a little bit, so on the map now you can see where NPCs are. It's still challenging, to say the least, and especially when you're going for an ending that, like, a quest that changes your game end. There's a lot of steps, and if you miss a step, most of the time you're a-okay. You know, there's not necessarily a 1, 2, 3, 4, but you can get to 4 by only doing one. But you need to meet them, and then they'll just start going places. One of the lore topics in Elden Ring is the frenzied flame, which. Flame that's frenzied makes you go mad. and you see later up the mountain, some soldiers that look to be once again crying over their dead comrade, dead friend. But in fact, they have frenzied yellowed eyes and they're eating him. And it's such a stark contrast, but it's so much that makes the world feel so alive because, you know, it's not like a reused animation. It's not a reused event. You know, you get to the snow fields and there's this, like, weird skeleton guy trying to dig out his friend that's been long dead. But in the world of Elden Ring, no one dies, right? That's the whole thing is there's the never-ending death. That's why people come back and look so awful. And that's why you can't die and the gods can't die and...
I think what you were explaining earlier about the world of Elden Ring and how it really gives you a good sense of feeling like, oh, I'm in a land of the damned right now. I am the only guy that can actually somewhat make things right in here. There is a feeling of loneliness, too. I understand that later you become part of the round table. You have somewhat of your allies, in quotes, there. But when you're exploring the world, there is a lot of beauty in some of the loneliness of Elden Ring. Like, everything is out to get you, for sure. But I think that is somewhat beautiful in just the sense that I am alone, but I have to make the best of the situation. I can rise up and become better. And I think that honestly teaches us a really important fact of life, not to mention, I don't want to quote Chumbawamba here, but the great words of them, I get knocked down, but I get up again, right?
Like, absolutely. Yeah, the solemnness and loneliness in Elden Ring is definitely a big impact. Mm-hmm. I think that has always been a Souls thing with the NPCs too, where you are so alone and then you see a potential friend and you're like, oh my god, look, it's someone else, and you go talk to them and you exhaust their dialogue and you talk to them again and again and again and again because it's the first person you've seen in 4 hours after a grueling boss fight.
I think this, now I'm on a walk here. You got to follow me on the path.
I'm walking.
I think Christopher walking. Yeah. I think Elden Ring does a great job. Now, not a lot of people do talk about this, but I've seen a lot of people talk about how the Souls games help them with their depression. It teaches them the values of, no matter how hard I am getting knocked down, I can get up again. I can overcome this obstacle. I may be alone right now, but I will find allies. I will find friends. I can be greater than what I started out as, which is one of the great things, I think, as much of a pain in the ass as it might be, the wretch walkthrough does teach you, you are nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You literally start with nothing but a crappy club and some shitty underwear. And I think that might be, as much as I don't play it like that, that might be one of the best ways to start the game. I would recommend, honestly, is to do the wretch playthrough and literally build yourself up like that, right?
It's the most rewarding, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially, like, we know someone who beat the game, and now he started over on as a wretch. He's not doing the New Game Plus mode. He's like, I'm going wretch, because he wants to fully experience the game. He's not doing Spirit Ashes. He's starting as a wretch, and he's trying to give it the most authentic Souls experience, which is odd, because I feel like this is a Souls experience. It's hard enough on its own. The Spirit Ashes are a weird argument to have, I think, but hey, I mean, at the end of the day, it's an open world game that you can play the way that you like. It shouldn't matter how other people play, because you can dual wield katanas, you can have dragon fists, yeah. You can literally do whatever you want, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. At the end of the day, honestly, I think a lot of developers are going to look at Elden Ring, and it's going to change the way current open world games are made. I really think Breath of the Wild and Elden Ring are showing these developers new ways to make their game without having to put 50 plus collectible items in there. You don't have to find these 3 pages from a random ass book or whatever it is. I really think they are going to change the way that gaming is for the far future.
I hope so. I would love more environmental UI. Having the health bar as part of your character, mwah, ooh,
fantastic.
Golden.
Fantastic.
It doesn't get much better than that. Yeah. It's one less thing for you to cover up in your beautiful world. Mm-hmm. You know, you that's where the real money is in these games, is in the world. Why cover it up?
Mm-hmm. We highly recommend playing Elden Ring if you haven't. Definitely recommend buying it. And you know what? I think we're going to wrap that up after that. This
yeah.
has been episode 1 of Son of a Pixel. Again, I'm Average Joe, here with my co-host,
Dylan Adams.
Have a wonderful day.